Amen. And we have Penny here tonight who's going to lead us in some worship.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to get into it. Amen.
All right.
Okay. Is everybody doing okay?
Doing well.
Is everybody awake?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This morning, the Lord showed me a verse, and it applies to what I'm doing today.
Thank you, Penny. Lex, for filling in tonight. Appreciate it. The Lord God has given us the tongue of a disciple, as one who is taught, that we should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens us morning by morning. He wakens our ear to hear as a disciple, as one is taught. The Lord God has opened our ears, and we have not been rebellious nor turned backward. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, you know the needs in the room. Lord, there's so many things that are going on right now in our own individual lives. You're individually preparing us for a future event. And Father, some things and just some people I just sense in my spirit, God, have come in here tonight and just kind of in the weeds over certain things. And Father, I'd ask you to just bring clarity into our lives tonight, that we might be able to see clearly the path that you have lit before us, that we not be distracted, that we not be moved, Lord God, by anything but by the leading of your Holy Spirit. Father, I ask that you speak to our hearts tonight, that you ask that your anointing would come and open up ears, spiritual ears, open up spiritual eyes to be able to see and to hear what you're doing in the Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, so I'm just going to mention some things just briefly and give X most of the time here tonight. I feel like he's got an important word for us. But I really want to encourage people, because I want you to know that, I don't know, how many people feel like you might be in a little bit of a test right now? I'm just curious. Okay, so you feel like you're in a test. So just know that when you're in a test, that there's always a purpose for the test. You know, there's a solution in that test. I mean, there's a solution that God wants to give everybody in the test, in the trial. But that's not always the purpose. The solution is not always the purpose. The purpose in the test is he wants to reveal himself to you in a way you've never known him before. I mean, you just don't know everything about God. And so he wants to reveal himself to you. And that's what he did on the waters of Marah, and I've shared that here before, where, you know, they've been traveling for 30-some miles and for 3 days, and they didn't have any water. I mean, they probably did have some water, but they were thirsty, and they finally come to the waters of Marah, and, you know, after going for 30 miles or so, you know, and you come up with some water, you're motivated, you know, and then they couldn't drink it. And so then now they're mad, and they're mad at Moses for leading them there, and so they started murmuring against him. So you had a whole group of people that complained about the situation they were in. Then Moses prayed, and then Moses got the answer. And God told Moses, hey, take this tree and put it in those waters, and the waters became sweet. So Moses got the answer because he prayed. But that wasn't the purpose of God. The purpose of God was he wanted to reveal himself as healer to Moses and to the nation of Israel. And so the tree obviously represents the Lord being crucified on the tree. So the purpose of your test is that he might reveal himself to you in a way that you've not yet known him before. And that's always the way it is with walking with God. It just goes deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. There's no way you're going to get to the bottom of that, because he is bottomless. And that's why Paul talked about my determined purpose is to know him and to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Now, in Matthew chapter 12, real quick, God just gave me this real quick today, and I just want to share this real quickly with you. Because, you know, how do you get yourself out of somewhere? How do you move forward in God? How do you get past where you're at? I mean, you need to really know those things, because I don't know about you, but you know, I'm not really good at standing still and sitting still. I'm just not that. I just have to always be doing something, you know. And I feel sometimes like I want to move forward in the Lord, and how do I get myself there? And I just want to give you just a quick teaching on that. And Matthew 12, verse 36 says, "But I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will have to give an account for every idle, an operative, non-working word that they speak. For by your words you'll be justified and acquitted, and by your words you'll be condemned and sentenced. But I tell you, on that day of judgment, that men will have to give an account for every idle, an operative, non-working word." Okay? Now we can take that in the negative and talk about that all day long. I want to talk about what are you saying over yourself? What did you have a conversation with yourself today? And if you did, you're not crazy, but what did you say to yourself? You know, what is it, what do you take scripture and do you speak scripture over your life? You have to start doing that. And just, it's just a good practice to start taking the word of God and saying it out loud and getting into this realm, because it has to be released. Everything is voice activated when it comes to the kingdom of God, by the way. When God said, "Let there be light," you know, light was. I mean, you know, Jesus said, "Woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity." When he cast demons out, he cast them out with a word. And so the word of the Lord is so important. So you need to take time to really spend time in the scriptures, but also releasing the scriptures over your life. You know, and it doesn't necessarily mean have to be so much what something that you want. You know, sometimes it's good to get certain scriptures, like, you know, Lord one time told me to go to Proverbs, I think it was 6:6. I forget what it was. I didn't know where it was. Oh, God, speak it to me today. Oh, thank God. I'm going to go. I look it up. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." I mean, you know, that was not the word that I wanted from God, but it was a true word. It was a good word, because what was about to happen to me, I needed to hear that. I had no idea what was going to happen. I mean, he didn't share that part with me, but man, it was a good thing that I started to do some stuff, because I would have got caught, you know. And it's not that I wasn't doing anything. It's just that he wanted me to get busy with something that he gave me to do in my life to head towards him. See, everybody's got a mission on this earth. If you aren't heading towards that mission, if you aren't plowing forward in the Lord to find out what you got to do or what you're doing, I mean, you know, you're going to have those times where you feel empty. And it seems like the world crawls up and gets a hold of you when you're not moving. You know, everybody need, you know, we all need breaks sometimes. We all need vacations at times. But the thing about it is, it says in Ecclesiastes that there is no discharge from this warfare. You know, you don't get a day off in the kingdom of God, more or less. You know, it's not that God doesn't want us to rest, but we just get we don't understand that we are in a hostile place. And the circumstances that are arranged against you are designed to neutralize you or destroy you or preoccupy you. It seems like the circumstances, the enemy always comes at you in the similar way. If you notice how he attacks you, and he distracts, and then he tries to get your mind to focus on it, to think about it, and to repeat it. And then what comes out after that is the idle words. It's boom, this come out. "I'm so tired of this, I can't take it anymore," or you know how it goes. You know? And it was so hard working with the others. So much I had to corral their mouths all the time, because I'd sit there and work real hard for 3 weeks on getting something accomplished, and they'd tear it down in one day with their words. So you want to make sure that the words that are coming out of your mouth are anointed of the Lord, that they're speaking to the heart of the matter, and to speak words of life over your life, over who you are. Start blessing you. Just, you know, bless you, Todd. Be blessed today, you know? I mean, you got the mind of Christ, you know what? Encourage yourself in the Lord. I mean, that's what David did when he was at Ziklag, and you know, all the people got kidnapped, the wives and the children, and he sat there, and they wanted to kill him,
His own men wanted to kill him. And what did he do? He strengthened himself in the Lord. He put on the ephod. And he strengthened himself in the Lord. And that's what we've got to do. You have to strengthen yourself in God, because no one else is going to do it. I mean, if you call me up, I'll bless you. I'll say nice words over you. I'll do that. So I'm feel free. If you need to be blessed, I'll read scripture over you. But take the time this week, tonight or tomorrow, whatever. Just take some pieces of the Word of God and just speak them over your life. Start understanding that your words, that life and death are in the power of the tongue, that your words will take you out of the spot that you're in and move you to the place where you need to be. Jesus said, say to the mountain, you have to speak to the mountain. You got to have faith, of course, but you got to speak to it. You got to start getting it out there. You know, just start talking really loud in the shower till people start to hear you and think you've just lost it. And then start a conversation. You know, that's one way to evangelize. Just start talking yourself on the street. I mean, how many times you see crazy people? I want to see crazy people for Jesus out there. Where are all the lunatics for Jesus at? You know, they're in the churches. You need to get out. There's a lot of crazy people in churches. I tell you, I've met some weird people in church. I don't know about you. Have you ever met anybody weird? No, I'm the only one. I love them. You know? Amen. Well, I think I've said everything I need to say. Why don't you come on up here, brother?
Praise God. We serve a good God. Amen. Amen. Honor to Pastor Todd, and great to see many of you here one more time as we are enjoying God's presence, especially His Word. Before we begin, my dear friend, I would like us to pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, first of all, for being who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. We ask, Lord, that this word, let it be a seed into our spirit and rooted, that will bear fruits for many years to come. Speak, Holy Spirit, for we're listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I remember the first time that we had traveled to Kenya. We were going to host some meetings there with some pastors' conference and then a crusade in Muranga, Kenya. When I gathered together, I remember the first time, one of the cities that we had to at least enter and minister, we had to take one of the drivers that was with us, and he had to take us across a plain that we had to take permits to go, because this was a sanctuary area where the animals were freely open to move. Talk giraffes and elephants. I mean, it was beautiful. So I was more excited to see the animals than the pastors. So I remember we got in the van and we began to drive. After the meeting, one of the things that we got in, guys, man, that is an ugly dog. And he said, oh, that's not ugly, that's a hyena. So as we continue going, and all of a sudden he stops. And when he stops, he said, nobody move. And there was a precious herd of elephants. Now I love elephants. That's like my heaven pet. You know, I mean, I that is one of the most majestic beasts that the Lord has created here on earth. So to see them so close. But one thing is, there was a little calf, and the little calf began to come in a curiosity to come in towards our van. And the driver then said, nobody move, and shut off the actual van. When he shut it off, it's because the mama was coming after the calf. And as she began to get closer, she expanded her ears. And he could see it. And I could just see it. He goes, nobody move. And I'm like, it was so close in the presence of this majestic beast. I said, wow. As he got back into line and all the herd started, I noticed that the male was passing. Beautiful tusk. But one thing I noticed about this elephant, he had a huge scar going through his arm. As his leg, as he would look at it. So I told the driver, I said, what is that? Was it attacked by an animal, a beast? Was it attacked by a lion? Was it attacked by some type of animal that brought so close to it? And he tells me this. He goes, no, actually, no, this elephant's, the only way an elephant like that gets a scar that large is due to another elephant. You see, when the elephants are all in a herd, no animal, not even the strongest, bravest lion, is crazy enough to attack, not even a calf. Yet, The only reason is that when the elephants fight, that scar was done by another bull, which is known as a male elephant. It was he that wounded him. But because he's still in the herd, that means that another elephant that lost went out. And because he went out by himself, unfortunately, he said, that elephant then became a victim towards the lions. When he said that, we began to drive, and I couldn't take off the scar of the elephant, knowing that another one who did lose, that is not part of the herd, most likely got eaten by lions. Unfortunately, we live in a world today that Christians hurt one another. We are more victorious, the scripture says. In Jesus, we have victory. We are more than conquerors, yet we have many times scars by other elephants, by other Christians, that they scarred us, but we also have scarred them. Today, I want to speak to you about not locking tusk as Christians. We talk about testing. Well, your greatest test is another Christian. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4:31-32. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, which is loud quarreling, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God Christ forgave you. Here, we find that as Christians, one of the things that we do not learn as we learn, unless you were trained, is how to manage conflict with another Christian. You see, sometimes when we were born again, and how do I know that? Because I know when I was born again, I didn't know how to learn. I didn't know how to handle conflict. People think once we accept Christ as the Lord and Savior, we are mature in Christ. No, we're not. That's why Apostle Paul tells us we have to renew our mind. So if you were a jerk before you're Christian and you were born again, you're just a Christian jerk. We have to learn not to be a jerk. We have to learn how to treat one another with the love of Christ. Because if not, then we enter into an area that many of us are going and see, why would God do that? See, this driver reminded me of a situation in my life that I locked tusk with two brothers of our pastor in Miami that I truly loved. See, he was telling the story about what occurred before this. He said, when two elephants lock tusk, it's not only them. You see, they become to fight that everything that they step gets destroyed. If there were flowers or rocks, the feet of the elephants destroy it. To the point that as they begin to fight, their bodies, as they attack, they hit a tree and they could uproot a whole tree. And they ruined the environment where they were standing. So true, because when I have seen and experienced, when we do not know how to manage conflict with another Christian, we too uproot and damage the surroundings. As Christians, we enter into a season. One of my favorite seasons is the fall. Thanksgiving. Oh, praise God. Many of us are going to sit down and we're going to eat a different type of food from your culture. Right? We're going to enjoy the changing of weather, the happiness and joy. But how many times we will sit down and we're going to have family members that we have not yet resolved a conflict? But we cannot forget that also in churches. Do you know that you and I are family too? You might not speak great English like I do, but either way, you and I are one because the blood of Jesus. You know that as brothers and sisters. See, the enemy has no victory over us because Christ paid that price. Yet, unless we allow him to use us as pawns, he will always place us to be a test to somebody else. Here we find, I remember when I'm in Miami and the Halal tribe, it was several hours to the next city. So I had a lot to think about. I said, Lord, I remember my youth and my immaturity. There was a moment that in time of leadership, our pastors there was running cells. Cells are like Bible studies. small groups that were additionally placed. And I remember that the youth, they wanted to reach a certain area, a sector of our city. So they gathered together, the brothers, and they said, X, why don't you go ahead and take it? I was preaching in the trains then. I said, I'm not interested. No. Go. Just take a Bible group and just start at your home. So I remember I went up and I started inviting people over the house. And it was a beautiful time. Many of them will come over. Some of them, I remember, there was one that got born again. His name was Pike. He was almost 6'7" with dreadlocks all over. That when he hugged my mother, that's 5'2", you couldn't see her with all the dreadlocks upon him. Yeah, he called my mom all bottom teeth, all grilled gold. He said, hey, mom. And my mom, not with a lick of English, he goes, hello. And then I remember the whole time they loved each other. Many came over. I remember we had law riders that would come over and we'll block them up. Cops came over and said, what's going on? There's a drug deal. There's a Bible study. You know, saying, you know, sit down and Bible study. No drugs over here, only Jesus. You know, so they all gathered together. And I remember it grew so quickly. We were rejoicing in the Lord. But one of the things that occurred is that because of that, a rub hit the pastors and the brothers. The Bible tells us about how ourselves to be cleared in the guidance to handle conflict. Romans 12:18 tells us this. Apostle Paul tells us, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peacefully with all men. Look what he says. Romans 12:18. If it's possible, as much as it depends on you, depends on us. So we have to make it possible to live peacefully. Do you know why? Because I know some Christians who are unlikable. Christians that make it very, very difficult. You get up to church and you want to treat them. Hello, how are you? God bless you. And you want to be nice to them. And they just walk right, like if you don't exist. Right in front of you. And what happens inside of you? You start to get offended. You start thinking, I can't believe, who do they think they are? She's not all that. Yet, we ask ourselves, why is she there? Well, do you know that a lot of Christians also do not only know how to handle conflict, many Christians do not have social skills. Social skills is not taught in schools. They don't teach you how to be socially, because now more today are more awkward in that the church. So we think that because we are this way, everybody should be. And it's not so. If somebody walks right in front of you, it could be that they're more of an introvert. Maybe they're not doing it personally because not everything is about us. Amen. So if they don't say hi to you, guess what? You could say hi to them. That way, you understand not to lock tusk with Christians. We're entering into a season that the world is watching us. Are we united or we're not? Are we one to a point that we all could say we love Jesus, even though there's division with those that said we love Jesus? So more and more, the world is looking. Jesus is telling us this, just that we cannot react negatively. We have to respond positively. So in our emotion, because we are emotional beings, it's very easy that when somebody disrespects or somebody just walks by and not treat you, or if you feel like, hey, I'm not feeling welcome now, you could easily react to it. But when you respond to it, that means that you literally place yourself and ask, wait, let me adjust my wing a little bit to respond in a different way. Hey, hello, how are you today? I know that you might not have seen me, even though you walked 12 feet right in front of me and walked right beside me. So let me tell you, hello, have a good day. As Christians, we could go into an area that we start thinking that our brothers and sisters are enemies, and they're not. Some have been raised incorrectly. I had a really damaged childhood. I had to renew my mind in the Word and understand that, well, I couldn't hate people. I hated people. You know how difficult it is to be an evangelist and hate people? It really doesn't work. So I had to ask the Lord, Lord, I feel like I'm allergic to people. Heal me. I need you to strip anything that is inside of me against somebody. Why? Because I was reacting emotionally. But when you respond, you say, Christ-like. And that's not easy. That's not easy. So you have to constantly say, I love these people. I love these people. I love these people. God, I love these people. And you have to tell yourself, because you have to respond with the love of God. Why? Because Jesus forgave us. And we were stubborn before we were born again. And some of you are still are. Yet, you have to look at this area. Many times we think, no, this is how I'm wired, X. This is how I am. Nobody could change me. No, that's not a lie. See, when every single one of us came to Jesus, it took time, but the Lord, we saw a transformation. That's why Christianity is the only faith in this world that people say, well, you could do all your deeds, but one thing they'll know that you've been completely transformed is by the transformation of our life. Our thoughts are different. Our lifestyle are different. And all by choice, knowing because our works does not give us salvation. It's only through Jesus. We are transformed because of the love of God and our submission to the Word of God. Yet when we read many times, well, we do not, I don't know if I could respond that way. Yes, we can. Do you know why? Have you ever been in an argument with your spouse and all of a sudden somebody comes and knocks on the door of your house? And you're like, no, I told you to pick up the socks on your floor. You know, I pick up my socks on my floor, but I'm just saying, you know, and then, oh no, you do this, and I told you, and you start arguing, and then ding, ding, you know, and then you go to the doorbell, and you out upset, and you're screaming, and you're yelling, and you open the door, and it's one of your friends, right? You're like, ah, girl, God bless you, I can't believe you, how are you? Here, this is my wonderful husband, you know, and then you walk him in your house. That doorbell effect, we choose how to change. Every single one of us, one way or another, have been caught with a doorbell effect. You've been angry, and you get picked up the phone, and it's always your pastor. Hey, pastor, God bless you. I'm praying for you. Hallelujah. Right? And then you start thinking and change that. Well, that is training as well. The Bible tells us, how should we handle the conflict? Number one, we have to seek understanding. Seek understanding. Trying to understand other people's perspective before reacting to it. When you seek understanding, and Proverbs 18:2 tells us, a fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. A fool doesn't want understanding. When somebody says, no, I don't care, they did this, they did that, but if you don't seek to understand, see, I was a fool, so I reacted with anger. All of a sudden in the room where they told me, X, you have to give us the Bible study. You cannot handle it. I went lock tusk with the brothers. And when I locked tusk with them because of pride, oh, you're not going to take this. I worked very hard for this. It was all about me. And I locked tusk with them. See, many Christians, we will see that we will lock, but we have to ask. We have to seek to understand why people do that. Are people react that way because maybe their upbringing, because people have hurt in church? Unfortunately, you see many sheep without a shepherd as they're out and they're wounded. And some of them just have a scab, but inside they still remember. Why? Because a scar, just like that elephant's side, has memories. And because scars have memories, it's very difficult to try to convince somebody it's not going to happen again. Their heart will be guarded for every single action, and they will see it. So we have to seek to understand. Say they did not want to understand. I myself did not want to. For me, I was taking it as an attack for me. So I was being tested by another Christian. And how that made it great. See, inside, they could have just tried to figure out and tell me, hey, you know, things are a little bit different, like, so we're just going to take this off you. Instead, they didn't. They could have asked, listen, right now, there is a moment. We had over 65 youths in our Bible study. And that little youth group, they could have said, listen, how can we duplicate it? What are you doing different? But they didn't. They just took it out, and I reacted. Because I didn't try to seek understanding, guess what happened? I locked tusk and we began to fight and I lost. I lost and I came out with a scar on my arm. And when I left, just like the driver said, when two elephants locked tusk, everything in the environment changed. And you know what changed? it uproot families from the church and they scatter. People say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go there. I left wounded. And many families got up and got divided and went to other churches and even left the church. And I was part of the uprooting. And I hurt people. I hurt people not because that was my goal. It's because I didn't know how to manage conflict. I too did not want to seek understanding. So I tried to defend myself and I hurt families. And the Bible tells us in Scripture that you're to find the ways to communicate in love. Ephesians 4:15 says, but speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Speaking the truth in love. Why does he say speaking the truth in love? Because we could speak the truth in hatred. We could speak the truth in anger. Have you ever heard somebody speak the truth in anger? You will go to hell and burn. Yeah, we know in Scripture, those that do not have Jesus in their lives, what will happen? But I'm telling you, how many people will come and be born again if you only preach? Well, fire. And everything is about the burning of hell and this is going to happen and doom and gloom. But what about the grace of Jesus? Isn't it the goodness of God that man come with the what? To repentance. It is the goodness of God. I came to Jesus because his goodness, not because I got scared of fire and brimstone. I came to Jesus because I found out he loved me with the mess I was in and he was willing to forgive my sins and give me a chance. When we communicate with love, you start seeing people, listen, maybe they do not understand. So let me communicate with this. When we love tusks, we start communicating. That always happens. Today, the whole millennial or generational Z or whatever they call now, the ghosting. Well, I'm going to ghost them, right? So everybody becomes Gasper. And then everybody, they want to disappear and they want to communicate and nobody wants to do anything out because we just want to cut and dry. And we don't want to find out, listen, did I hurt you? Or say simply, no, this is difficult for me, but you know what? You hurt me. And we are brothers in Christ. And I don't want to hate you because you are a Christian brother or a sister. God forbid we're neighbors in heaven. So let me solve it here. And the Bible gives us that we have to communicate in love, speaking the truth in love. Unfortunately, hurt people. And people that take scars previously will always take it to another church. If you get up from your church right now and you're hurt from your church, because many of us might be still hurt from your previous church. When you go to your next church, what you think your scar is going to stay in the other church? You're going to take your scar to the new church. And every little action that they do, that they hit that scab, it's going to remind you, what if they're going to do the same? What if they're going to hurt me the same? Each time they do something, even though if it's not on purpose, it's going to hit that scab because scars have memory. So it is better to try to resolve before you take this pain somewhere else. Because one thing the Lord teaches is to forgive and let go. We cannot forgive and forget. We cannot do that. A human cannot forget, but we could let go. Colossians 3:13 tells us, bearing with one another and forgiving one another as Christ forgave you, as you also must do the forgiveness. Forgiveness is a choice. We have to choose that. I remember when Mercy and I, we had prayed and I left that and then I grew up and I separated. I didn't want to see them. I didn't want to see the church. I even drove a different street road just to make sure I didn't pass by that church. But when I got married with Mercy, I remember I was telling her all these things that were still bothering me, and it was a couple years after. Mercy says, I think you should forgive him. I said, yeah, I forgave him already. I can stand them. I said, no, I think you should forgive them. So I remember we got together and I started praying. I said, Lord, I don't want my conflict to take me always home. I don't want to go home with this issue. I don't want to remember when I see that brother, that sister, or that pastor. I want to make sure that I say, hey, God bless you. I hope you've been doing well. I don't want to look at them in Walmart and say, well, I'm going to go the other aisle. Instead, if I see them in the same aisle, I say, man, it's good to see you. I'm glad you're doing well. I hope the church is prospering. I hope that you're growing. I hope that your family is healthy. Because deep inside, we know that's what we want for them. And deep inside, they want that for us. So I had to make a decision. I prayed. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 4, 6, 7, about not being anxious for nothing, and then everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. And I asked my sister, Patty, if she could help me with the keyboard, please. Look what it says in verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds. When we understand what conflict does as a Christian, is that it does interrupt the peace in our minds and in our hearts. It will always do. Every conflict we have with other Christians, it starts bothering us. Why? Because when you lay your head upon that pillow, what happens to your mind? You start thinking about it. You start thinking about it. And it becomes a thought that doesn't let go and it gives you unrest in your heart. But Jesus says that if we guard and we trust in him, he will guard our heart and place peace. And to do that, we have to let go of this destructive, emotional, mental storm of what people have done to us. We live in a wicked world. And even us Christians, sometimes we don't know how to act. And we will hurt people because I have hurt people. I cannot go back and put the roots back where I uprooted with my actions and immaturity. But I could ask for forgiveness. I remember with Mercy, we prayed and I said, Lord, I forgive them, but I want them to know that I forgive them. And maybe this might not be available to you. Maybe that person has completely detached. So forgive them and bless them. And tell them, Lord, let them find in your shine of light in their life. And speak a blessing over their health and over their family. Pray for them. And when you pray for them, it's going to conflict that you have inside will be released. And say, Lord, just as you have blessed me, I ask you to bless those who have hurt me. We might not understand what happens in the spirit, but something happens in our hearts. Mercy and I got together and we drove. And I remember when I saw them on Sunday morning, they didn't know how to react with me. And I said, I would like to talk to you, the two brothers. And when we sat down, the same room that I felt humiliated, the same room that they took and everything was happening there. And I tell them, I want you to know that I was hurt, but I forgive you. But I also know that I hurt you too. And there was an uproot of families in this church that left. And I am sorry. I should have known better, but I didn't. I ask you to forgive me as well. And I don't know how to explain, but I know that in that room, we began to pray. And the presence of God fell. And there was such a love that I never felt for them. And I say, you are my brother and I am yours. And even though we might not walk the same or be the same church or worship, I want you to know that if I see you in heaven, I'm not going to go to the other street. And when I left that place, I left peacefully. Because many times we will see as the Lord will mature our life, my friend. We must remember that when Christians look tusk, nobody wins. So it's better to say, I'm sorry, and I forgive you at the same time. Amen. If you could stand with me, my friend. We enter into a season that the Lord has been very gracious for us, to us in many ways. And one of them is that the Lord is allowing us to grow. It's beautiful to see that there are many churches here representing. How beautiful it is. Some of us are having problems in our church right now. And it's bothering you. And you got a scab on your arm. Some of you have from the other church. And you still have that scar. And that scar is not going to go away. It's not. But you could forgive. And you could remember when you see that scar. I'm not going to do this to somebody else. I'm going to learn through this failure how to be more like Christ so it doesn't happen to somebody else. But if you're carrying that inside, it's not to be shameful, humiliated. It's not. We know what it is to pray. I'm not even going to even ask you to come to the front unless you want to, because this is a personal issue. Every single one of us have one way or another somebody who has scarred us that is a Christ, is a Christian, a pastor, an elder. And inside of you, things are burning. And while I was talking, that name came to your mind. And if it did, I would like to take a moment and pray. And I want you to pray with me to forgive that person. Forgive and let go. Can we do that today? And any of us who are wounded today, we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving. It's great to sit down without no wounds. It's great to forgive and bless them and know that we are in the family of God. So as you bow your heads with me, I'm going to pray with you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Father, you know your hearts and those that have heard it. We know, Lord, that actions that we have taken that have hurt others as well. First, Lord, we ask for forgiveness. Forgiveness, Lord, because we know that we have done in some part of our life. We have hurt a brother or sister, a family, through our immaturity or our not knowing how to manage conflict. But now that we know, Father, that we have to seek understanding and with possibility with love, resolve it, Lord, with forgiveness. Lord, right now we forgive those who have hurt us. We forgive those who are hurting us now. Those who are speaking out of words against us. Father, we forgive them. You said to us to love our enemies, and that is hard, especially if they are from our same camp. But we forgive them because you are good to us. You've been good to us. You forgave us, knowing that we ourselves were a mess. And we pray, Father, a blessing over them. Blessing over their marriages, blessing over their family, blessing over their churches. And even we have hurt by pastors, we forgive them too. Because sometimes we place pastors above who they are. And they are just men as well. So we forgive our pastors. We forgive our pastors' wives who have hurt us. And we pray, Lord, that they will get deeper in relationship as they manage conflict with their own people. Father, right now, I also ask for peace in our hearts and mind. We want to enter this Thanksgiving season with some joy in our hearts. We don't want to hold grudge. We don't want to hold unforgiveness. We forgive and we let go. And we receive by faith the peace and love of Jesus that surpasses our understanding and our emotional hurt. Thank you, Lord, because in the end of the day, it's your love towards us that matters. So heal our hearts of any offense, and we let go and forgive them as you are to us. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If you'd like prayer, and I will be available to pray here, but if you're dealing and you want a specific prayer, we'll be willing to pray for you, as I ask my sister to maybe lead one praise, if you don't mind, or one worship. We want to have this availability taught. If you'd like to say it, the floor is open.
If you need healing or anything, we'll go ahead and dismiss. But if you need healing, or I just feel like there's some people in here, some emotional healing. You know, something's really bothering you. You know, that could be everybody in here, actually. But if you need some extra prayer, you know, for your emotions, and we won't look at you like you're weird or anything if you come up here. But no, I'm serious. If you need some extra prayer or whatever, and we'll pray together. I'll pray for me too. But I really appreciate what my brother was saying about conflict, because how we respond in conflict is so important, and we get so many things clogged in our spirits because we haven't forgiven people, and a lot of our problems come from unforgiveness, and so just be very careful with that. I'm of the mindset I'm afraid to not forgive. I'm in fear of it in terms of always make sure I have a clean slate, especially those people, those other people that you walked into, you know, years ago in the churches and stuff like that. Because I mean, I could tell you some horror stories, but I'm so thankful that the Lord did a work in me, so I didn't get contaminated by all of it. Because you know, we are brothers and sisters, you know, and how we perceive people is very important. You can perceive people with your own humanity, or you can perceive them as the Lord perceives them, and that helps a lot. Because when you see people as He sees them, you look beyond the knowledge. There's a love that's beyond knowledge. Let me explain that. You may have knowledge of an individual, of who they are, maybe things that they do, but the love of God is beyond the knowledge of what you have over an individual. It goes way deeper than that. And if you're going to be an effective minister in this world, you have to move like that. That's because that's how, when you start seeing the potential of people's lives, the junk is all separated, and you're speaking directly into what God is creating them to actually be, and makes them a lot easier to love, by the way. So, and enjoy the variety. And we're all different. I mean, yeah, there's not two people that are the same. You know, I mean, that alone just blows my mind. And one more thing I'll share before I close. I saw this testimony. This guy did it. He did a tour of heaven. And whether it, you know, we see these things, and you know, they are. But this particular testimony was, he was in heaven. He was given this tour, and there were these two people that were talking to each other, and he was asking. The angel was guiding him, said, can you tell me what's going on over there? He said, I can't tell you. I can tell you what they're doing, but I can't tell you what they're discussing. And he said, well, what are they doing? He says, well, they're getting something worked out that they had problems here with, and they're getting it worked out in heaven. I thought that was interesting. So I must wonder if there's going to be some times where, you know, we're working some stuff out up there. You know, we have this idea of heaven and stuff like that, but sometimes, you know, there may be some things that need to get worked out. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you. You guys have a great week. Richard, I forget his last name, Richard Malls will be here next week. He's from Tampa. He's written some books on how to hear God's voice. I met him a few weeks ago, and I'm doing a conference with him next weekend. And so, but he will be here next Thursday. So if you get, Bring a friend or something like that. The guy would be great, I'm sure, to hear. And he'll have some time to really bless us. Amen. Father, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. We thank you for your goodness. Father, I just ask you just to watch over each and every individual that's here tonight. Lord, fill them up to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and bless them this week, Lord. And I thank you, God, that they're going to bless themselves, Lord. They're going to remember to speak good words over their life. In Jesus' name I declare it. Amen.
Bringing teardrops to my eyes. I'm not alone. Oh Lord, I need you now more than ever. Would you put my heart back together? I searched the world to my head, just to find out your ways better. Oh, oh, your ways better. Everything you say making waves like a jet ski. You love every part of me even when I was messy. Now I see the art in your beauty, so I can finally sing out Jehovah Jireh provider. Your way always gets me higher. Even on my darkest days you're a lighter. My Messiah. Oh Lord, I need you now more than ever. Would you put my heart back together? To my head, yeah, just to find out your ways better. Oh, oh, your ways better. Oh, oh, your ways better. Oh, Lord, your ways better. Jesus, Lord, I need you now more than ever. Would you put my heart back together? I search the world to my head.
Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low?